When I think about the wonder of God's kingdom, I think about things that dazzle. I think about the majesty of giant sequoias. I think about waterfalls cascading over impossibly tall cliffs. I think about improbably intricate orchids or peach trees bending, heaving with perfectly ripe fruit. I think about striking animals, giraffes and zebras and gibbons and colorful birds. I think about splendor and striking beauty. And when I think about the world and about life, I want it to make sense. I want to understand it, and I want to be in control. If any of you share these desires with me, we can take some comfort in knowing that we are not alone here. The prophet Ezekiel lays it out poetically, pointing us to this tiny sprig of a cedar that God will take from the very top of the tree, planting it and growing something new and grand, even from such a small beginning. That I like. That's what I want. It's gorgeous, and it's also straightforward. Clip the sprig, root it, and voila, a massive, wonderful tree and an easy metaphor. Jesus has something else for us today. Two parables, neither of which I find very satisfying. The first, well, as far as narratives go, this one is not very exciting. A guy throws some seeds on the ground and then he goes to sleep. Mysteriously and without explanation, the earth takes care of all the rest, letting him sit back until it's time for the harvest. He has no idea why it works, why it happens. It's lovely and generous, and if you have spent any time in a garden at all, it doesn't make much sense. But the real sticking point for me is the parable of the mustard seed. I've known and appreciated it from a distance for a long time. I love the simplicity of something that can start so tiny and become so vast. I love the surprise and the wonder of it. But if we get up close to this parable, that simple beauty starts to unravel, because I think Jesus is messing with us. This isn't meant to be a sweet and sentimental proverb, or at least it's not just that. Maybe it's sweet and inspiring, but it's also much more. It's tricky and perplexing and, frankly, really funny. Those latter parts are harder for us to pick up on now. Here's the thing that folks in Jesus' day would have understood, even if they were fishermen living far from any fields. Mustard was a weed. It was invasive and a total pain in the neck. It had some redeeming qualities, to be sure. It was tasty and it had some medicinal uses. But if you planted it, it took over. Mustard would take over your crops and your neighbor's crops. It took over your walking paths and all around your home. It tended to be a nuisance, even without any help from humans at all. So that's the first joke of the parable, the idea that anyone would intentionally sow this weed at all. And then the joke continues. Jesus and the folks listening to him would have known the imagery that Ezekiel uses, that God would grow a majestic cedar to offer both beauty and shelter. And with that noble tree towering in their mind's eye, Jesus introduces the kingdom of God as the greatest of all shrubs. Not a massive cedar, not a mind-blowing giant sequoia, a shrub. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a really great shrub. It's goofy, and I think it's meant to be. It's meant to scramble our thinking and upend our assumptions and maybe also complicate what we want. So, two parables. One that makes it clear that we are not in charge and cannot explain how it all works. And another that takes our beautiful and maybe lofty dreams and then trims them down to the shape and size of a weedy shrub. I've been chewing on these parables all week, and I have felt completely stuck with them. It's like that sometimes. In Godly Play, the sort of Montessori-based curriculum we use with our kids, we talk about parables as being like presents. These gifts that were given to us before we were even born. And like presents, parables can come in boxes that sometimes seem really hard to open, with these lids that we just cannot pry off. But sometimes, if we come back to them again and again, we'll find a new way in, a new way to open the box. Still chewing on this gospel, frustrated that it would not open for me, I went out hiking. About 200 feet down the trail, I stopped short on the hard-packed dirt. There in the shade, I was already lost in thought as I puzzled over this parable. And then I realized that I was standing right in front of it. And also under it and in between it, I was surrounded by this parable. Here's my modern Bay Area take. The kingdom of God is like a tiny seed, just an eighth of an inch or so across. It is a tremendously hard seed, one so sturdy that it can lie buried in the ground for years, waiting until conditions change and it can spring to life. And when it does, when the rains come and the canopy opens just enough to let some light through, that seed takes off. And it grows and it grows and it grows in all directions. It grows up and out, and it grows in secret, underground, sending out rhizomes with its roots to spring up seemingly new plants nearby. And even when the rains stop, still it grows, climbing whatever it can find or growing thicker and taller on its own. It offers shade in the hot sun. Small birds flit in and out, making their home among the branches, grateful for its dense protection and for its berries. The plant's triplet sets of leaves glisten and shimmer in the breeze. They glow red in the afternoon light. Objectively, it is a beautiful sight. And yet, what I am saying is that standing on the trail, the parable finally opened up for me, and I realized, to my dismay, that the kingdom of God is like poison oak. It is hard for me to see that this plant is good. I mean, to be honest, I hate it. It has made me miserable many times over. I avoid it at all costs. I've memorized all the places it grows along my regular hikes so I can be more effective in keeping my dog from brushing up against its terrible, oily leaves. It's hard to trust that this thing I find to be so annoying, really to the point of terror, might be central to what God is up to in the world. It's hard to stretch my imagination to the point of considering that the kingdom of God is like a weed, taking root and flourishing, even if that weed chokes out a farmer's carefully planned crops, maybe even if that weed gives me a horrible rash. Here's what I hear Jesus playing with in this troubling, cheeky parable. He's ribbing us. He's trying to show us that God is up to good everywhere, in all places, even the ones we prefer to avoid. Everywhere, 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 God is present and tending life. She's coaxing goodness forth, whether as food or shelter or scrappy beauty or all the other things that make life hum. The first parable today tells me that it's okay if I don't understand how it works or even why God is doing this. It's okay also if I can't control it. It doesn't depend on me. This first parable sets me free. And then the second parable, the parable of the mustard seed, and maybe the parable of the poison oak, this one asks something of me. I can feel the Spirit nudging me forward with this one, where my default may be frustration or even fear. God asks me to consider awe or even gratitude. The kingdom of God is not always all that grand. It's not always a towering cedar or a breathtaking mountain view. The kingdom of God is also the greatest of all shrubs, the most magnificent weed of them all. It's scrappy and sturdy, and somehow a miracle unto itself. I may think that I do not need it, and I may think that I don't want it at all. And still, God is in every grand and every absolutely mundane thing. God is in the midst of it all, and she is making it good.